when we speak of the Buddha, the most important thing to understand is that the Buddha becomes our ideal. Just as the Buddha was able to rise above all human weaknesses, and transcend all human nature that we consider as natural human nature, and become superhuman. That is how he became perfect in wisdom, perfect in goodness, and perfect in every way. So we take the Buddha as an example and try to become like that. This is why we worship the Buddha. Worship means to recognize the worth of something or someone. So it is only when we recognize the worth of the Buddha, what he achieved, and think that he was first a human being and he rose to that level. So in a similar way, we can also do that. We can also rise to that level and it is only by rising up to that level that all unhappiness, sufferings, worries, anxieties and all the evil within the human nature can be overcome. So what this means is that we have to grow and evolve. We have to grow up to a mature state. We are immature. We are like children. We have to grow up. Although our body may be grown up physically, our mind is not fully grown up. This is why all human beings are fighting and quarreling and doing all kinds of things in the world, which is bringing unhappiness to themselves as well as others. This is all because the mind has not become fully mature. So this is why the first thing we have to do is to appreciate the Buddha, to recognize the value of being like that, the value of being a Buddha. That is what is called saddha. Saddha means sat and dha. Sat means what is good and true. Now we speak of a sat purusha. Sat purusha is a person who is good. Now, saddha means to value, uphold goodness. The main thing about religion is not the worship of powers, it is the worship of goodness. This is the important thing. All religions are doing that, if they are proper religion. But there are some who are worshipping power more than goodness. And if that is done, then the goodness disappears. This is why there are conflicts between religions, conflict between people, all because they are worshipping power, not goodness. A person becomes good only when that person begins to worship goodness. Now this is why the Buddhist says sadhu, sadhu. What is the meaning of sadhu? Sadhu means good. It's very important to understand that. When we say sadhu, we are saying good. That means we are appreciating goodness. We are valuing goodness. Now, we speak of the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. The Buddha is one who has reached that highest state of perfection in goodness. Dhamma is his teaching that shows the way to become good. That's the Dhamma. And the Sangha means the followers of the Buddha who are practicing the way to goodness. That's the meaning of Sangha. Sangha doesn't mean just the monks or the nuns. Sangha means the real followers of the Buddha. And if people begin to follow the teachings of the Buddha, then it will go from generation to generation and the practice will remain in the world. If people don't practice the teaching of the Buddha, the practice will die. That will be the death of the Buddha. This is why the Buddha said the Vinaya is the life of the sasana. The sasana simply means the practice. We might talk about Buddhism and think it is a great philosophy or something. That's not going to help us. It is the practice that is important. And the practice begins with thinking about the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha. This is why they are called the Three Ratna. Three Ratna means, Ratna means the gem. Why do we call the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha gems? Because the gem is the symbol of value. It symbolizes value. Because people pay a lot of money to buy gems. You can, if you have a good gem, you can earn a lot of money by selling them. so that a gem is considered to be of great value. And so when we say the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha is a gem, we are thinking of value. We are valuing the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha. And we say sadhu, we worship. The word worship means worth-ship. That means recognizing the worth of something. So to worship is not prayer. There is a difference between prayer and worship. Prayer means asking for help. That is, you pray to a power to get the power to help you. But here we are valuing goodness, and that is not prayer, that is worship. So we worship the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, not just pray to the Buddha. We don't pray to the Buddha. That's very important to understand. And it is only when we begin to value goodness that we begin to practice the five precepts. Now, the first precept is not to harm or hurt anyone, whether human or animal. Now, if a person gets the chance to hurt someone and decides not to hurt, why does that person do that? Because that person values goodness. If it is possible to kill some person and get a lot of money, and then you decide not to do that, the only reason you will have to avoid doing that is to regard goodness as more valuable than the money. Even if you are getting $1 million, the goodness is of greater value than the $1 million. If you have the chance to steal $1 million, and if you decide not to do that, again it is because you value goodness more than the $1 million. If you have the chance to commit adultery or have wrong kind of sexual intercourse, if you avoid that, that is again because you value goodness more than what pleasure you derive from that. If you can gain something by lying, telling lies, and if you decide not to do that, it is again because you value goodness more than what you get by telling the lie. If you get a chance to drink and spoil your mind and quarrel with other people, and if you decide not to do that, again it is because you value goodness more than whatever you derive from that. So the whole practice of the five precepts is based on this Saddha. Saddha becomes the greatest value. Saddha means the worship of goodness. That is the meaning of Saddha. The worship or the valuing of goodness. So this is really avoiding bad behavior. To avoid bad behavior is also called being civilized. So the Buddha was really talking about being civilized. Civilization. It is very important to understand that civilization and culture are two different things. Buddha was not talking about culture. Buddha was talking about being civilized. Culture is something that separates people. Culture separates, because culture is simply how people, a certain collection of people in a country or in some area of the country, how they think, how they speak, how they eat, how they dress, how they sing, how they dance, how they paint. Whatever they do in some similar way. A certain group of people doing things in a similar way. Because they live together, they tend to do things in a similar way. And that is the meaning of culture. And one culture begins to hate other cultures. That's another thing that happens. And a culture doesn't like other cultures. And the other thing is that people don't like to change their ways. So this really separates people. Culture separates people. Now if you think of the people in Sri Lanka, there are the Sinhalese people and the Tamils. They are two different cultures. So they begin to separate themselves and even fight among themselves. Or the Muslims being a different culture, and the Christians being another culture. So there is the conflict between Christians and Buddhists because of that. But even among the Buddhists, there are differences in the low country and the up country. Again, they begin to fight and quarrel. This is culture. Culture is a thing that separates people. In India, the Muslims and the Hindus began to quarrel and they divided. They divided India. And even today, the problems about these Muslims in the Middle East, they are also doing the same thing. It's culture. Culture is not a good thing. Now today, with the international communication and the whole world begins to unite. And this uniting is not culture. Uniting is being civilized. So when the British, the Dutch, not the Dutch, the British, the English, the Irish and the Scottish people, they united and became the United Kingdom. And here in the United States, all the states, people in the different states began to unite. And today even in Europe, people are trying to unite. They have at least made the money the same. So that's the gradual process of trying to unite. As people become civilized, people unite instead of separating. This is what should happen in the East also, even in India, in Sri Lanka. What we need is civilization, not culture. And this is what the Buddha taught. The Buddha, if we become true Buddhists, then we'll have no cultures. We'll not try to separate ourselves from other people. We begin to think of all beings. We practice metta. May all beings be well and happy. Not just, may only my culture be well and happy. We don't say that. May all beings be well and happy. Not only human beings, even animals and insects. May all beings be well and happy. That is civilization, not culture. It is not correct to speak of a Buddhist culture. When Buddhism entered different countries, different cultures, Buddhism was absorbed into the culture. But when Buddhism is absorbed into a culture, they don't throw away what was already there in the culture. They'll only incorporate Buddhism into their culture. And that is how it becomes a Buddhist culture. But a Buddhist culture is not real Buddhism. That's not the teaching of the Buddha. Because the Buddha teaching changes. If you go to Japan, you will find Japanese culture. But they may call it Buddhism. But that Buddhism is different from the Buddhism in Sri Lanka. Because the Sri Lankan people will have Sri Lankan culture, Buddhist culture. Conflict with our circumstances. And we begin to worry. So when the mind is focused within, that is what is called upekkha. Upekkha is really upa ikkati. Upa means within. And ikkati means to look or to see. To see what is within. And when we speak of sati or satipatthana, we are really speaking of focusing our attention within, not just mindfulness. Mindfulness is the wrong translation for sati. Mindful is something else. To be mindful is to be observant about whatever is happening. That's not what it is. We are trying to observe what is happening inside us. And what is happening inside us is not what is happening outside. Now, there are these eight things called the Arthaloka Dhamma. Labha, Alabha, Ayase, Asa, Ninda, prasansa, and sukha and dukkha. Labha is gain, labha is loss. Yasa is recognition in society. Ayasa means not being recognized. Prasansa is praise, and Ninda is being blamed. Sukha means pleasure, dukkha means pain. So these are things that keep on changing in the world. Gain and loss, social recognition and loss of recognition, praise and blame, pleasure and pain. These are things that change in the world. And these changing circumstances, if we begin to focus our attention on them, we become unhappy. Our mind gets disturbed. But instead of doing that, if our mind is focused within, we are aware not of what is going on outside, but we are aware of what is going on inside us. Our reaction to them. So what is more important for us is not what is going on outside. What is important is how we react to them, how we respond to them, what is going on. This is why now today people speak of the important thing is not our circumstances, but our attitude to circumstances. This is the meaning of karma. Karma, today people think karma means that you have done something bad and you are suffering and all that. This is worrying about circumstances. That's not what the Buddha said. Don't worry about your circumstances. Worry about how you are reacting to the circumstances. Your attitude to the circumstances. That is what you have to be concerned about. If you respond to the circumstances in the proper way, you will be happy. If you respond to the circumstance in the wrong way, you will be unhappy. So the important thing is your attitude, your response. Now there, again, I have to use two kinds of words I have to explain. One is what I call a reaction. The other is a response. A reaction is an emotional thing. When something unpleasant comes up, we react to it with hatred and we worry about it. That is an emotional reaction. And when something pleasant comes, again we become very happy about it. That is an emotional reaction. But the response is different. Something happens outside, we remain calm. If it is something bad, that we is not very good for us, we can use our reason and think logically and deal with that problem. That is a response. Now it's like, a child is sick. When the child is sick, the mother begins to cry and shout and, oh, my child is sick and all kinds of things. That is an emotional reaction. Now, if you take that same child to the doctor, doctor doesn't begin to cry and lament. The doctor will remain very calm and deal with the problem rationally, using his brain. He'll recognize, diagnose the disease or whatever is wrong, and then give the proper treatment. That is a response. So instead of reacting to circumstances, we should learn to respond to circumstances. That is the important thing to understand. Learning to respond instead of reacting. Now this is the way to practice the teaching of the Buddha. So I think the time is up, huh?
Five minutes more.
Ah, sure?
I don't know, it's up to you.
So anyway, we'll stop. And if you have any questions to ask, please, you can, but you have to stop this and put another one. But I think you were not looking at the time I saw you.
No, I was
We have passed 1 hour.
Huh? Yeah. Past 1 hour, I think.
No, it's still 5 minutes more.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm tired.
Okay.
Ha ha ha.